praise the Lord. Recently, the world has been beset by numerous situations that really are beyond the control of man. There's been the earthquakes, and we talked about earlier in the service, the earthquake in Japan, the disaster that's taken place there. The tsunami that followed the earthquake that not only did more damage in Japan, but did damage in other parts of the world. Then here in the United States, we've experienced in this past week the destructive and killer tornadoes that have struck the South, with at last count, and this was a day or yesterday, I believe, was the count, over 329 people having been killed. This just short of the 332 people were killed in tornadoes in March 1932. So it's been one of the most deadly storms that has occurred in many, many years. In fact, what's almost 80 years. All of these things happening, taking place, and we probably that are here in this building today all know someone that lives in the areas that were affected. It was not just Alabama, but it was also Arkansas, Mississippi, Georgia, even portions of Tennessee along the Alabama-Georgia lines that were affected. I know that the young man who helps us with our website down in Chattanooga, he's been posting about the problems that they've had down there because of what's gone on. We here, I think, in our area, were somewhat spared. Part of it because the weather didn't get as warm that day here in this area of Tennessee as they had projected it would, thus making it a little more moderate what happened that day. Some people have said various things about why this have happened. Some person posted on the internet that this was God's judgment on the South because of the past sins of slavery. Others posted that this is part of some weather control experiment by Russia and the United States. And I'll have to say, that's not the first time I've heard that. When I heard this thing probably close to 20 years ago, that there's this weather control experiments that are getting out of hand that are causing some of the weird weather that we have. So the question comes up, where is God in all of this? And I can understand sometimes people looking out and they're seeing all this devastation and they're crying out, where is God? Where is God? I'm hurting. Where is God? Earlier in the week, I purchased a new book by Perry Stone called Purging Your House and Pruning Your Family Tree. Now, I'll have to say I bought the book online and made a mistake. I thought I was buying a hardback book, and I bought an e-book by mistake. And so I'm having a little more difficulty reading it than usual because I have to read it on my computer. But I've been reading this book, and in chapter 2, and I believe it's on page 43, he gives four scriptures that he prays for his household. And those particular scriptures, as I looked at them, struck a chord with me. And God began to speak to my heart about these four scriptures. And we want to talk about this today and the message that God has given me from these four scriptures. And it has to do, where is God in all of this? And all these problems that we face. First of all, he talks about a scripture that he prays over his family for angelic protection in Psalms chapter 34, verse 7. It says, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. Now, giving a little background here, this is a psalm of David that he wrote about when he changed his behavior before Abimelech, who drove him away and he departed. And if you want to look up 1 Samuel chapter 21, verses 10 through 15, it gives you the story there. But David's in fear of his life from Saul. David has been anointed king, but Saul's out to kill him. And David goes and hides out here. And I know as you read some of these scriptures here, one place it says one name and another place it says another name, because some of these people had different names depending on where the scripture's at. But anyway, he went here and hides out, and it's time to leave. And he's a little bit afraid there too. So he acts and plays the part of the madman. Foams at the mouth and acts just crazy, really. And here is, he's writing about this, and he says, "The angel of the Lord encampeth about those that fear him." Did you know that God can send angels to protect you? He can send angels to protect your property. He can send angels to protect the things that you have need of. Did you ever pray for divine protection? Do you ever ask God to send protecting angels to watch over you and your possessions? Now, years ago, I started going out when we bought our first house. And I went out to the four corners of the property. And I anointed that property in each of the corners with oil. And then I anointed our house with oil. And I prayed a prayer over all of this. And I prayed a prayer that said, "Father, I ask that your protection upon my property from corner to corner, border to border, above and beneath." And I prayed that prayer over every house we've owned since then. And God has been merciful to us, and He, I believe, in many cases has sent angelic protection to protect us during times of trouble and times of natural disaster that takes place. In 1987, the 5.9 Whittier Narrows earthquake struck. That wasn't all that far from our house. Many of the areas in the neighboring city, which was just a little over a mile, less than a mile away from us, had a lot of damage because they were built along a former riverbed. And because of the soil, when the earthquake struck, the buildings just shook violently because of it. Many buildings were damaged heavily. In our own house, I think we had a figurine that fell and broke, if I remember correctly. And that happened while I was on my way to work. And I was concerned because our radio studio was out in the garage. And I'm not the best of builders. And stuff in there was susceptible to falling. And I had things stacked up. And I could just almost envision the disaster that could be in my garage when I got home. But God protected that, and nothing fell, nothing broke. Although I was told by my neighbor that everything that was on one side of his garage was on the other side when it was over with. I believe God provided divine protection. He sent His angels to protect our property and keep us from harm. I prayed this same prayer the other night as the violent weather was coming upon us, and I believe God protected us then. But you know what? I prayed it not only over my house, but I prayed it over your house and your house and your house and the house of everybody that's here, that God would give divine protection to them, that He would cover their property from corner to corner, border to border, above and beneath, and no harm would come unto it. God can send protection to us when we have need of that protection. He takes care of His children. And as He sends us, as we go out in the world and we go about our daily business and we go about the things that we have to take care of, there are things that occur. If God was not protecting us, we could possibly be killed or seriously injured or many things that could happen to us. I believe God sends that protection. I had an experience years ago. I was going with a youth group. It was my first time to go with them to Mexico. And we were on our way, and we were riding in an old Mercury station wagon. And I was riding in the third row seat. And all of a sudden, we hear a screeching of brakes, and we see lights swirling around. And some car had almost rear-ended us. And he went off onto the shoulder and out into the desert, actually, as he's spinning around. But I will tell you that I felt that car almost being picked up and moved over a little bit during that time, that other car missed us. God can do that. He can send His angels to protect us. He can move the mountains if need be so, to provide that protection for us. He is our protector. He takes care of His children. When you think about your own natural family, you all want to take care of your kids. You don't want to see your kids hurt. You don't want to see bad things come. And you'll do whatever it takes to take care and watch out for your kids. We're God's children, and He watches out for us. He loves us, and He cares about us. And He sends His angels to watch over us and take care of us during times of trial. What about when you're sick? What about health and healing? He gives a scripture here in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. Well, here's one that I put in actually. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. It says, just as human beings have to die once, after this comes the judgment. And so I was thinking about, the Bible tells us that we have to die. So yes, at some point we're going to die. But there are times during our life that we get sick. We pray for healing. And sometimes and we're healed and sometimes we're not. And I know a lot of people question, well, where is God when I pray for them and they don't get healed? Jesus paid the price for our salvation on the cross of Calvary. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24 says, who His own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. He paid the price of healing there on the cross of Calvary. As He went to that cross and those lashes were given across His back and across His body, He paid the price of our healing. Have you ever had a miraculous healing take place? Some have, some haven't. I know there's been a couple of times in my life that I believe God has miraculously healed me. And I wouldn't be here today if He had not done so. And I've told you probably before that when I was about 6 years old that I had whooping cough and double pneumonia. I also had a piece of Kleenex about the size of a nickel or something about approximately that size embedded in my right lung. And I was dying. Doctors didn't know what to do, but I was slowly dying. But one day, my mom had this little lady from the church, and everybody thought that she was several cards short of a full deck, as they say. She was a little bit, you know, strange in some ways, but she believed in God, and she could pray to God, and she touched God with her prayers. And my mom said, "Let her come out and pray for him, because I believe that God will heal him." She came out and prayed on Saturday. On Sunday, I was getting better. On Monday morning, I vomited that piece of Kleenex up off my lung, and I continued to get better from that day because God worked a miracle in my life. A few years ago, I had a growth in my chest. It was confirmed by x-ray. They went and did some other things, and the doctor called me back, and he says, today I was going to talk about the surgery that we were going to have to do. He said, but the last test we just ran, he says, it's gone. It's not there anymore. You see, in the meantime, I'd had the church pray for me. God brought a healing miracle into my life, and God can bring miracles into our life. And you say, well, why doesn't He do this for everybody? I don't know. But I do know He can do it. I do know that He paid the price for our healing. Some say, well, I prayed for so-and-so, and they died. You ever have that happen? I've had it happen. I went up and prayed for people to be healed, that God to deliver them from whatever it was they had, and the next week they died. I leave that in the hands of God. Because the Bible says that we do all have to die sometime. Except for those that are going up in the rapture. But a lot of people have died. The Christians have died for whatever reason. But He paid the price for our health and for our healing. And I thank God that I have the health that I have. Amen. You know, unfortunately, I'm not a spring chicken, as they say anymore. But I thank God for the health that I have. I have a lot better health than a lot of people my age. And I thank God for that. And I think it's only because of God that that is the case. And I look around and I see people that have got this and they're taking so many different medications and this, that, and the other. And I thank God that I have the health that I have because He paid the price for my health. Where is God when you're sick? He's still there. He's still there. Don't ever forget that He's still there. You prayed for that loved one and for their healing and they died. Where is God? He's still there. And He had His reasons. for however the outcome came to be. Many people say, my family is not saved. Where is God? Acts chapter 16, Paul and Silas have been put into the innermost prison. They could be in there singing, woe is me. Remember that? Oh, some of you may remember there used to be a program. I think it's still in reruns on some of the cable channel or satellite channel called Hee Haw. And there was a song on there that they sang every week for a segment that they had. And it was gloom, despair, and misery on me. If it wasn't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. Gloom, despair, and misery on me. They could have been singing that song. God, we've been out doing your work. We've been preaching the gospel. People have been saved. And here we are in the innermost prison. We've been beaten. God, where are you? But that's not what they did. They begin to sing, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth rejoice. Or whatever song. I halfway forgot what I was going to sing there. But they were singing a song of praise. Praise God, praise the Lord. And what happened there? The Bible says that God sent an earthquake to deliver them. It shook the doors open. You know what else it did? It says they were in stocks. It shook those off of them as well. They were set free. They could have got up and walked out the door and disappeared into the night. The Bible goes on to tell us there was a jailer, the keeper of the prison. Today we'd probably call him the warden. He sees what's going on. Oh, I'm done for. He's ready to kill himself. And Paul cries out to him, sir, do yourself no harm. We're all here. Not one prisoner escaped from that jail. And I'd almost guarantee you they weren't all Christians that were in the jail. None of them escaped, we're told. Paul says, we're all here. Can you imagine what happened in that jailer's mind and in his heart there? He's ready to kill himself. And Paul says, we're all here. Don't hurt yourself. And then he asks Paul this well-known question, what must I do to be saved? Paul in chapter 16, verse 31 says, and they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. Sometimes God uses unusual means to get somebody's attention to their need of salvation. This jailer and his family needed to be saved. Bible doesn't tell us what happened to him and his family after this. Don't know. But I know that he cried out to the Lord, and the Bible tells us that he and his household were saved. God used some unusual things there to get him to this point, though. Had Paul and Silas thrown in prison. Had an earthquake take place. He got the jailer's attention. And sometimes he has to use some unusual circumstances to get the attention of our loved ones and to show them their need of Jesus Christ and their need of salvation. Sometimes people say, well, I've lost everything. Where is God? Well, those who've been watching the news over the last few days and you see the pictures of this destruction, especially those they're showing in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, or maybe you've seen some of the pictures they showed even today on television about some of the destruction in Japan. That's still not cleaned up. It's still a big mess. People have lost everything. They've lost their homes. They've lost their businesses. They've lost their livelihood. They're wandering around not knowing what they're going to do. If you ever go into a third world country, sometimes you see scenes almost like you see of these people wandering around because they have nothing. Where is God, they might say, but God is still there. God still cares for them. You see the homeless on our own streets, God still loves them. He still cares about them. Where is God? Well, you hear those who sometimes when you turn on the television or the radio to a Christian broadcasts, and they are preaching that you should be living, if you're a Christian, living in the lap of luxury. There was one preacher that preached a number of years ago. He's passed away now, and I hope he made it. I really do. I hope he made it. But some of the stuff he was preaching was downright wrong. And he was preaching, I don't want my pie in the sky and the grape by and by, but I want it now with ice cream on top. He wanted his blessings now. And there are some that preaching, we need to get our blessings now. I don't care about now. It's what God has for me in the future. It's the blessings that God has laid up in store for me. The Bible tells me my reward is laid up in heaven. It's not laid up in things that are going to pass away, things that will perish. And we have seen over these past few weeks how quickly your possessions can perish and be gone. No, I don't want the things now. I want it when Jesus comes. I want my rewards then. Oh, I may go through some problems now. I may have some heartaches now. I may have some tough times now. But I know that God is there for me, that He's taking care of me, and He's got that treasure laid up for me for that last day when I stand before Him and He says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. That's the words I want to hear most. Well done, my good and faithful servant. How many want to hear that? Well done, my good and faithful servant. Third John chapter 1, verse 2 says, Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. I want to read that out of the Complete Jewish Bible. Dear friend, I am praying that everything prosper with you, that you be in good health, as I know you are prospering spiritually. So they're using this word. God wants us to prosper. Yes, God wants good things for us. But it doesn't always work out that way. God's got good things for us laid up in store. But there are those that are preaching, if you're not driving a Cadillac, something's wrong. I had an accident one time. It was a minor fender bender. And some brother came up to me and says, well, what did you do wrong that this accident happened to you? Well, I'll tell you what I did wrong. I just didn't look good enough. You know, but it wasn't some punishment from God. Prosperity. The word prosperity, yodo, or yodato, or what, something like, I can't pronounce some of these Greek words, let's face it. It can be translated into succeed in reaching, figuratively to succeed in business affairs, to have a prosperous journey. To have a prosperous journey. He desires that we have a prosperous... I'll tell you, if we're journeying in Christ Jesus, we've got a prosperous journey. We've got a blessed journey. He is laying up treasures for us. He wants us to be blessed. He will pour out blessings upon us. He moves in our lives in very various ways. And look around. And I've said this before and I say it again. Every last one of us here today in this building are blessed. And we are blessed abundantly above what most of the rest of the world has. We are in that top 10% of the blessed people of the world. Because God has blessed us. He's blessed a lot of people that don't follow Him out there as well. They've been blessed and they've seen an abundance. And I pray that God will speak to their hearts sometimes and get hold of their lives. Because what they've got now will all pass away. But I want those blessings that God has laid up in store for me. Where is God? Matthew chapter 28 verse 20 says, Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. I want to read that one more time from the Complete Jewish Bible. And teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And remember, I will be with you always, yes, even unto the end of the age. He says, I will be with you. Most of us have seen that thing you find in Christian bookstores, and you see it here and there, the picture of the footprints. It's called the footprints in the sand. He's with us. And yes, there are times that He's carrying us. He's taking care of us as His children. God is there. He is with us. No matter what trial we go through, He's with us. Just think about it. The disciples and Jesus were out in the boat. Jesus was asleep. Storm came up. The disciples are afraid. They're about ready to drown. In fact, if that boat sinks, they're probably going to drown. Jesus, don't you care about us? Peace be still. Peace be still. That's all it took. He was with them, and He is with us no matter what we go through. He'll be there with us, taking care of us. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 and 6 says, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For He hath said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me." The Lord is my helper. He's never going to leave me. He's never going to forsake me. You know, we can have friends that forsake us. We get in time of need, and our friends can forsake us. There's a story in the Bible about the prodigal son. And one of the things that has always stood out to me is when he went away to that far country, spent his money living it up, had an abundance of friends. Money buys one thing. It may not buy happiness, but it does buy friends, our so-called friends. He had what it seemed like an abundance of friends, as long as he was paying the bill. Ran out of money. Things got tough. Where were his friends? Seems like there weren't any of them left. And he ended up out doing something that was probably one of the worst things a little Jewish boy could do. Feeding the pigs. I mean, that was the bottom of the barrel. Feeding the pigs. Well, as the Bible says, he was so hungry that he even was wanting to eat the food that he was feeding them. But he realized in his Father's house there was an abundance. And sometimes we may hit the bottom of the barrel, but remember, in our Father's house there is an abundance. And all we have to do is come to Father. He wants to take care of us. The Bible doesn't tell us that when he returned to his Father's house, his Father said, okay, you can come back, but you live in that house on the back side of the property back there, and you call me sir, and you do this and you do that. He welcomed him back with open arms and says, this is my son. This is my son who was lost and now has come back. He welcomed him back with open arms, and I've got news. We're like that prodigal son, and when we come back to God through Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross of Calvary, we're welcome back with those open arms. And he says, welcome home, my child. I've been waiting for you. I've been there all the time. I've just been waiting for you to come home. God is with us no matter what we go through, no matter what the obstacles may be, no matter the trial of our life may be out there. We may be sick, we may be broke, we may be this or we may be that, but God is still with us, and He will watch out for us, and He will make a way for us. And maybe you're listening to me today and you are wondering, where is God in all of these things? I want you to know God's there for you. Maybe some of you have lost everything. Maybe some of you are living in a country where you just don't have anything. But I've got news for you. God is there for you. All you've got to do is turn your life over to Him. Ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart. Be welcomed into the family of God. And if you come before Him in sincerity, crying out to Him and asking for salvation, He'll be there to save you. He'll be there to welcome you into His family. Father, I pray today for these that have heard this message, whether it be here in this building or whether it be various parts of the world that this message gets played. Father, that you would speak to hearts and lives today. And Father, that people would open up their heart and say, Jesus, Jesus, come into my life today. Come into my heart. Welcome me into the family of God. This I ask today in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.